A consolation prize from Equifax. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The interim CEO of Equifax sent a public apology this week via the pages of the Wall Street Journal. He's sorry about his company's massive data breach affecting 44% of Americans. He also made an offer, free Equifax credit freezes for affected consumers. Marketplace's Ryan Kailoff explains what that would do.
About 10 years ago, Leslie Beck's husband had his wallet stolen. The thieves tried to use his credit cards, take money from his bank accounts. Then they got serious.
They went out and bought cars in my husband's name, staged fake accidents, and submitted false medical claims for reimbursement.
As it happens, Leslie Beck is a certified financial planner. She says freezing your credit, like with the free service Equifax is offering, can be very effective in preventing fraud like this, if you don't use credit much.
The problem with credit freezes is they really are kind of a pain in the neck.
If you are making big purchases or approving student loans or making mortgage changes, she says, a credit freeze can slow you down or lock you out. Also,
it doesn't prevent a lot of other types of identity theft, which actually can be more devastating.
Says Liz Weston, author of several books on personal finance. She says freezing your credit can prevent identity thieves from opening new accounts in your name, but it can't stop the much more common practice of exploiting the accounts you already have. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailoth for Marketplace.
In the ongoing multiple investigations into Russia's role in the last presidential election, the role played by social media is becoming more clear. Most of the attention has focused on Facebook ads tied to Russia, but Congress has turned its attention to Twitter, calling in officials from the company yesterday for a closed-door chat. With more on this, I'm joined live by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. What are these congressional investigators hoping to find out from Twitter?
So it's similar to what they want to know from Facebook, who's also been called before that same group. They want to know what these companies know about any ads, bots, or accounts linked to Russia that may have been pushing certain narratives, false content, or otherwise trying to sway the election. And some in that meeting were unsatisfied with what they heard from Twitter. Here's Mark Warner, who's on the Senate Intelligence Committee.
I'm more than a bit surprised, in light of all the public interest in this subject over the last few weeks, that anyone from the Twitter team would think that the presentation they made to the Senate staff today even began to answer the kind of questions that we'd asked.
Warner said there's a lot more work Twitter needs to do to answer those questions.
Well, what kind of work does Twitter say it has done?
So Twitter put out a statement after the meeting. The company said it couldn't reveal all its efforts, but it did say it found more than 200 accounts linked directly or indirectly to Russia that were pushing ads, spam, or other prohibited content last year. Twitter is focusing some attention on the Russian news network RT, which Twitter says spent almost $275,000 in ads. And the U.S. intelligence community is suspicious of that company's ties to the Russian government, but RT says it buys and sells ads like any other media company in the U.S.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thank you. Catalonia in northeastern Spain is preparing to vote on an independence referendum October 1st. The region has a proud identity and a history of repression by Spain. This is one of the richest regions in Spain, and economics is also at play, as Lucia Benavides reports.
About 40,000 people gather outside Catalan government offices in Barcelona to protest raids and arrests of local officials by Spanish police. People of all ages wear their red and yellow Catalan flag as capes, and banners that say sí, for a yes vote, hang over nearby balconies. The region is preparing for an independence referendum on October 1st, which Spain has declared illegal.
We need change.
That's Josep Minguet, and he isn't speaking Spanish. It's Catalan, the prominent language of the region. He thinks it's time for a change. He says Catalan people are oppressed. Others, like Jessica Boluda, say the issues are economic.
We pay our taxes to the government, and we didn't receive back all that we need.
Spain's Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy has called on separatist leaders to stop what he calls disobedience and an escalation of radicalism. Economics professor Elisenda Paluzie says Catalan residents contribute 20% of Spain's taxes and then receive 14% back for public expenses. She says Catalonia is economically important for Spain, and if it were to secede,
they lose a territory that is relatively rich and contributes a lot to taxes.
Paluzie says the 2008 economic crisis helped increase separatist sentiment in Catalonia. The region experienced the highest budget cuts. Then, in 2010, Catalonia sought a statute that would have allowed it to collect its own taxes, much like the system in another autonomous region of Spain, the Basque Country. The Spanish government rejected that.
It was seen as an aggression to the capacity of Catalans that had done everything under the legal way.
Paluzie says Catalonia is economically viable without Spain. Its GDP is around that of Denmark's, and its GDP per capita is higher than Spain's. In Barcelona, I'm Lucia Benavides for Marketplace.
And IKEA is buying something that is not made of particle board. There's news the home goods chain is acquiring a piece of the so-called gig economy known as TaskRabbit for an undisclosed amount. TaskRabbit has an app that directs humans to go do chores for you. In IKEA's case, think furniture assembly. I have two drawers full of hex wrenches I'm prepared to donate to the cause. Competing definitions of hex, a noun, an L-shaped wrench used to assemble flat-back furniture, or hex, a noun, a curse. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week, Daniel Ramirez. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.